All right. Here we go, Ezekiel chapter 12. The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. They've been called that quite a bit through the book of Jeremiah, quite a bit through the book of Ezekiel. We're only in chapter 12. We've got a few chapters to go, and this will not be the last time they are called rebellious. It is also not the first time they have been called rebellious. We're seeing a pattern here, and the pattern isn't just in the book of Ezekiel. Pattern continues through the Bible. Not only are God's people rebellious, but this is just a small little piece. To give you a whole picture, we look at the children of Israel. But it really gives you a picture of what the rest of the world is like. What's microcosm or microcosm, whatever that big word is. All that means is what you're seeing here in this little place called Israel, you are seeing all throughout the rest of the world. So you've got a pattern going, and the pattern is we are rebellious. God mentions it about his own children, that they're rebellious. He says, the word of the Lord came to me once again. You remember, he finished the last vision, was picked up and brought back over there into the area northeast of Babylon. Another vision. And this is what God says, or this is what God is saying. So he says, everyone listen to God's word. Here's what God says. These people are rebellious. And we've heard God say that before, so we're not surprised, but he says this, they have eyes, and in our language, he says, but they will not look. I'll say it again. They have eyes, but they refuse to use them. That's what he means when he says they have eyes to see and they don't see. It doesn't mean they are incapable. It means literally they won't look. Children will do that. So do pets. You notice? When pets are in trouble, or sometimes children, and you'll have to say things like, look at me, because they don't. Pets are great at that, and little kids. You'll say, why did you do that? Look at me when I'm talking, because they don't want to see. They have eyes that function, but they don't want to see. The children of Israel could see physically, but they didn't want to look. Now, but he doesn't stop there. They have ears, but they will not use them to listen. They won't hear this. I have talked and talked and talked, God says, but they won't hear me, choosing not to listen. It's not a problem with their minds. It's not a problem that something has malfunctioned in their physical heads and now their eyes don't work and their ears don't function. It's a problem of their heart, and that's what he said first. He said this, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, for they are a rebellious house. Twice in one verse, you dwell right in the middle of a rebellious house, meaning the people are rebellious. At the very end of the verse, he says, it's a rebellious house. In the middle of the verse, he tells you how they're doing it. Look at me, he says, and they say, we're not going to look. We will not see this. Listen to me. We will not listen. We won't hear it. You've been witnessing, I'm sure. You've talked with people and said, let me talk to you about Jesus. And they have come out to you out loud and just simply said what? I don't want to hear this. Haven't they? They didn't say, I can't hear this. They said, I don't want to hear it. I just don't believe that. And I don't want to hear this. Well, let me show you this little, I don't know. I won't even look. I don't want to see it. Having eyes, they do not see. Having ears, they do not hear. Jesus says the same thing in the New Testament. Of course, it's said quite often throughout Scripture. Their ears work just fine. Their eyes work just fine. There's no physical problem. It's a spiritual problem. It's a heart issue. As you'll find, most everything in here turns out to be. It's a heart issue. Verse 3 says, therefore, When you see therefore, you look and see what it's there for. Now, because they are rebellious and they won't see and they won't hear, because of that, thou son of man, prepare thee stuff for removing. And remove by day in their sight, and thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight. It may be they will consider, though they be a rebellious house. Third time. Then shalt thou bring forth thy stuff by day in their sight, as stuff for removing. And thou shalt go forth at even, or in the evening, in their sight, as they that go forth into captivity. Dig thou through the wall in their sight, and carry out thereby. In their sight shalt thou bear it upon thy shoulders, and carry it forth in the twilight. Thou shalt cover thy face, that thou see not the ground, for I have set thee for a sign unto the house of Israel. God says to Ezekiel, pack your stuff, you're moving. I want you to move today. Just pack your stuff. Pack your stuff and move from where you're staying to another place. Just go to another place. Doesn't matter where. Go to another place in town. So basically what he's going to do, remember how Ezekiel gets the privilege of doing the pantomime work, doing the drama. He gets to act out because people won't listen and they don't want to look at the things God has to say. So he says, all right, I want you to act it out. And notice God says, it may be that they will consider, though they are a rebellious house, they'll watch you, and it might be that they might ask you what you're doing. So here's what I want you to do. Pack up and move this afternoon, Ezekiel. Do it in the daylight. I want to make sure everybody sees you. Pack up and move. Where? Just go from this apartment to another apartment. Doesn't matter where. Just go. Yeah, well, who's paying the first and last month rent? God. No, that wasn't really a problem. I mean, Ezekiel did what he was told. Do it during the day so the people can watch you move. So get the picture now, because Ezekiel, he has kind of an interesting job. So far, the guy has done some things. Remember laying on his side and he took and he drew a little. He was playing war. Remember on the rock there, he drew a picture of the city and he set up little army men around it and he threw rocks out. Remember he was playing war. And of course, people came up and thought, this guy's nuts. And so he's got a reputation in town. And now, when Ezekiel starts doing something, most people, because the kind of busy streets, are going to go, what is he doing today? Look at him now. He's got his hand full of stuff, and he's just, what are you doing, Ezekiel? Moving. Why? God said, move. Where are you going? Just over there. That's crazy. Well, God said, move. He wants the people to watch him move. But then he says, now, after you do it in the daytime, I want you to move again. I want you to move again. Pack all your stuff up again later when it's dark and move to another place. Do the same thing, only do it in the evening when it's dark. But I want you to do it a little different when it's dark. Dig a hole. Go inside this new place that you've got. And pack all your stuff up and dig a hole. When you talk about digging through the wall, it's basically going to be almost like a tunnel. He's going to tunnel down under and through. And basically, because the houses are right on the street, still to this day, if you go to Old Jerusalem, the walled city, you go inside, the houses are right there at the street. There's no entryways or anything like that. You're right there. There's a door and you are there. Well, when you dig a little tunnel, you're going to kind of dig under it and you're going to come out. You're going to come out in the street. And we're used to that because they're tearing up the streets over here in Spokane on the pier. You're just used to, streets being torn up. But in these days, I'm sure that would have been weird. Dig through the wall, he says, and act like you are sneaking out while it's dark. But we want them to be able to see you doing it. So, make your noise and, carry your stuff. Make sure you put your backpack on. Carry your stuff on your shoulder like you're going far, like you're going to take a long trip, like you're ready to go. All right. The streets, after it got dark, would have been very crowded because the markets would still be open. And that's when a lot of people would do their marketing, because the days were so hot. They would wait for the sun to go down as it got dark, and they would go out to the market. So you're guaranteed a huge crowd. And so here comes Ezekiel digging up from under the street there through the wall, carrying a bunch of his stuff. And it would probably make all kinds of people stop and look. You hear some noise. You're walking down the street. You hear a little bit of noise. You look over to where the noise is coming from. You see pieces of the wall start coming apart. And you see somebody's hand come through. What is going on? Who lives here? Then they come the rest of the way, tearing it up as they come. And he's got a backpack on, carrying a bunch of his stuff. It's dark. And it's Ezekiel. And you're thinking to yourself, that man needs help. That man needs some help. You know, he follows God. Look at him. He's losing his mind. So people start to gather because there's a wall starting to fall apart here. And there's a guy crawling up out of the street. The wall starts to break. Opens up, and out pops Ezekiel with a backpack on. Climbs out through the wall, stands up ready to leave. But he was told another thing. Notice, not only have your stuff with you, not only dig through the wall and come out, not only do it at night, but cover your face. Cover your face so that you cannot see the land. So that you are able to see. Make sure your face is covered. God says, and here's why. I have set you a sign. You are a sign. When people watch you act this out, you are a sign to them. They won't listen to me. They won't look at me. Maybe they will see what you're doing and it'll pique their interest. Jesus told parables to the crowds, remember? And he would say things, he would give them things that would make sense to them. A sower went to sow some seed. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the stony ground. Jesus would say, there once was a king who decided to settle the accounts with the men who served him. And at the onset of that accounting, or settling the accounts, there appeared before the king a man whose debts ran into the millions. And the man fell down, and the king said, pay me what you owe me. And the man fell down before the king and said, oh, be patient with me, and I will pay you in full. And you remember as it goes on. Jesus says, is there a man among you who would offer his son a stone if he asked for bread? Or a snake if he asked for, a serpent if he asked for fish? There once was a judge who was unjust, who cared nothing for God or man. And there was a widow who wouldn't get off his back, who every day came and wanted justice done. There once was a guy who just had gone to bed, laid down, and his neighbor came over at midnight, knocked on the door and said, I've got a visitor coming. Could you get up and give me some? Go away, I'm in bed. Go away. No, you got to help me. You remember all those, don't you? Jesus was helping the people to see, because he said many of them had ears and they wouldn't hear. They had eyes and they wouldn't see. So he's trying to give them something they can understand. So Ezekiel is a sign to them. If you watch him, you're watching it played out in front of you, and it would hopefully cause the people, God says, perhaps, maybe, of course God knows what's going to happen, maybe they'll ask questions. Ezekiel, what are you doing? What are you doing? This is nuts. It's getting late. It's dark. What are you doing? Why is your head covered? You can't see where you're going. You're going to hurt somebody or hurt yourself. Ezekiel, what is your problem? That's what God is hoping. There was a guy at the Bible college one time. I thought, the guy's crazy. But as I've been thinking about it and how Ezekiel does some of this, maybe he wasn't crazy. Maybe it was all the rest of us, because the Lord had spoken to him about his mouth, so he put a piece of tape, duct tape, and he duct taped his mouth shut and walked around that way all day. just walked around with duct tape on his face. And you look at him, what are you doing? You are nuts. I mean, I knew that there was something mentally with you to begin with. What are you doing? You're scaring the other students. And he wrote down, the Lord's just been talking to me about my mouth and I need to keep it shut and I don't have the ability. And so I just taped it. And of course, the students are walking around going, the guy's crazy. And I got to thinking, good point. He made an excellent point. It was an outstanding example. It made people so uncomfortable that they couldn't deal with it. We're all thinking, he's crazy. You don't duct tape your face. Shut. And he was also weird in other ways. So you just sort of thought, the guy's weird. Hey, Ezekiel was weird in a lot of ways. The guy laid on his right side for a long, long time. He laid on his left side for a long, long time. And he ate and he cooked with cow dung. And you remember the things he did. And you're going, the guy's nuts. And now this. But it would sure cause you to say to him, okay, Ezekiel, I'll bite. What are you doing now? Why the tape? Why the cover on your eyes? Why? What is up with you? You know, God is so good that he tries a lot of ways to get to you, doesn't he? When you say, I'm not going to listen to you, then you'll get out there and a bird will fly over your head and leave you a present. And you're going, man, what a way to start the day. God's going, listen, I'm just trying to tell you, we're just dropping some hints, so to speak. I set you a sign to the house of Israel. Maybe, just maybe, they'll see you and they'll get this message. Look at verse 7. And I did so as I was commanded. Ezekiel goes, and I can see him writing this down and going to show it to his grandchildren. And he goes, God told me to do this, and I did it. I did what God said to do. Oh my gosh. I brought forth my stuff by day as stuff for captivity. And in the evening, or in the even, when it was getting dark, I digged through the wall with my hand. I brought it forth in the twilight. I bear it upon my shoulder in their sight. They all saw me. It was big crowds. They saw me do this. And in the morning came the word of the Lord unto me. Next morning. Saying, son of man, hath not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto thee, what doest thou? Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, this burden concerns the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel that are among them. Say, I am your sign, like as I have done, so shall it be done unto them. They shall remove and go into captivity. Probably you don't listen to much country music. Years ago, there was a comedian, not a singer, who did a song called Here's Your Sign. Maybe some of you remember that. Every time you would do something stupid, he would hand you a sign. Say, here, wear this. Here's your sign. And Ezekiel said, God says, just tell them. If they ask, what's wrong with you? What are you doing? Tell them, I'm your sign. I'm showing you. What's happening in your own world? I'm showing you what's going on in your own hearts. I'm showing you what's going on at home, where you come from, where you're hoping to get back to. I'm showing you. I'm your sign. I did what God told me, he says. I did it. Now it must have been strange to see Ezekiel moving twice from place to place in one day. It was probably a little strange for Ezekiel himself to do. Again, what he's doing is acting out what God said. He is acting it out. So that people would look at it and see what God was saying. I like that. God wants people to see what he's saying. Not just hear what he's saying, but see what I'm saying. We live, I believe, in a generation that needs to see it. You know, there was a time, it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you could do a concert. And you would have Christian bands come in and Calvary would do Friday nights. And the young people from all over would come in, sit and listen. But those don't work anymore. Concerts are great, but they don't seem to do it anymore. This generation is much more visual. They have to see it. It's all music video to them. The music has to have something more to it than just the music. They've got to see something. And we've become this visual society. It's all digital. So Ezekiel would fit in great now if he showed back up. He would do great. Watch this, guys. And then he'd do something. You go, that is so weird. I mean, he would do great on MTV. Because everything's bizarre there. And what he did, they go, what is that? This guy's cool. He'd probably be a million seller, man. God says they might look and see what I'm telling them. What a thought. The next day, the Lord God said to Ezekiel, and here's what God says. Now, God knows all this. He is training. He is teaching. He is communicating with Ezekiel. And so he says to Ezekiel, well, didn't the people ask you, what are you doing? I mean, naturally they would, wouldn't they? I mean, I would. You see a guy, he's digging through the ground. He comes up near where you are and he goes, oh, hi. What are you doing? I mean, it's a natural question. I mean, for inquiring minds like mine, I got to know, what are you doing? What in the world are you doing? He said, what are you trying to prove this time? What is wrong with you? What are you up to now? It makes the people pay attention. I don't think that the lesson here is that you should go out and really do something bizarre. Although people take from this, and that's just what they do. I think the lesson here is clear. God will get your attention. And notice, Christian, the ways he's done it over the last few years that you've been walking with him. Some interesting ways, aren't they? Sometimes it's through layoffs. Sometimes it's through a simple message that you hear on the radio. Sometimes it's through things that are going on at home in families. Sometimes it's through loss. I mean, look at the ways that God uses to get our attention. And no, then remember Romans 8:28, where we read, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. Notice what God will do. Well, He loves His children. So when they said to Ezekiel, what are you doing? What is up with you? What is this supposed to mean? Notice Ezekiel's answer. I am your sign. He says, watch me and learn. Just watch. Just watch what I do because God told me to do it. Watch and you'll learn. You'll learn something about what God is communicating. You'll learn something about what God wants you to hear and see. Pay attention, he says, or he's communicating to them. I'm your sign. In other words, pay attention and be made wise. Watch and see what God has to say. And God mentions the Prince of Jerusalem. So we already know what that means because before we did Ezekiel, just a little before that, remember, those of you that were with us, we studied through the book of Jeremiah. Maybe you've been with us as we studied through the books of 1st and 2nd Kings. So you already know exactly what this message means. You already know because you've seen that in the other books. But the people go, what is this? I'm your sign. See, King Zedekiah, as you recall, he is still on the throne in Jerusalem. That's the prince we're talking about here, prince in Jerusalem. And the false prophets were saying, because the king's still on the throne, sure, Nebuchadnezzar has besieged the city twice. Okay, that's a fact, that's history. And he's taken captives. We're not denying that that happened. I mean, we're realists, the false prophets would say. But notice, King Nebuchadnezzar did not destroy the city, like Ezekiel said he would. Did not destroy the city. Like Jeremiah said he would. We told you we were right. Look, twice he's besieged us. Oh, so he's taken captives. Look, the king's still on the throne. The city still stands. We told you. everything's going to be all right. It's all going to work out. Jeremiah and Ezekiel, they don't speak for God. Notice, they said he would burn down the temple. And the false prophets are saying there in Jerusalem, look around. Temple's still standing. Nobody's burned it down. They predicted that he would execute the king, or that the king would be taken and die over in captivity. And look, the king is still on the throne. Ezekiel's wrong. Jeremiah's wrong. We're right. We told you everything was going to be okay. That's what's going on in Jerusalem right now. We were right. Everything's going to be all right. You know, the captives, they're going to come back soon, just like we prophesied. They remember they said in a short couple of years. They were saying less than two. Captives are going to be all coming back. And there's nothing to worry about. But Ezekiel says, well, watch me. I've got news for you. What you just saw me do is basically what's happening in Jerusalem over there right now, even as we speak. This is what's going on over there. If you're wondering, because you're captives here, if you're wondering what's going on over there, he says, let me show you. The king thinks he's pretty clever. Because remember now, the city has now been surrounded the third time. And the prophets are saying, no, they've done it twice, took a few captives, never could get it done. It's going to happen that way again. You guys just relax. King thinks he's clever because the city is under siege right now and there's no way out for any of the people. The king, and I know that you remember this from Jeremiah, the king is going to try to slip out, dig a hole through the wall, and slip out of town at night in the dark. Remember the king tried that? Him and a bunch of his army. Do you remember that? He's going to dig through the wall while the siege is underway, thinking that he's going to escape. But Ezekiel says, you just saw. He won't. He's going to come up, even in the dark, where it's crowded. It's going to be crowded with people. They're going to be the enemy. I mean, I'm talking to you guys, but this is the way it's going to be. He's going to come right up like in the middle of a street, middle of a crowded street. He's going to get nowhere. I just act it out for you. What's going to happen to the king? So that you'll know. When he comes out on the other side of the wall, the Bible says, he won't even see the ground. Ezekiel, cover your face. Because when you come out on the other side, you should not be able to see the ground. Your face should be covered. See, because the king's going to come out, he won't see the ground. They will be there waiting for him. There'll be a crowd. It'll be soldiers. And he will be taken. And do you remember what happened to King Zedekiah? His sons were killed before him, and then they did what? Poked his eyes out. He never saw the ground, never saw the land ever again. So Jeremiah had to cover his face so he couldn't see the ground when he came out of the wall. He just showed them everything that God has already said. Isn't that interesting that God said it so long ago, but these people didn't want to hear it? Even the captives. I just don't want to hear that. Tell me something good. And Ezekiel says, look, watch. They go, what are you doing? You're digging a hole. You're covering your face. You are so weird. He goes, I'm telling you, I'm a sign. I'm showing you what's going on right now. This is just what God said before, but you refuse to listen to his word. So I'm just showing you now by acting it out. Here's exactly what he said. Here's exactly what he meant. You are seeing what God has said. 2 Kings 25 tells us the king was captured, and of course they put his eyes out. Verse 13. He says, my net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare. The Lord is speaking, remember, thus saith the Lord. And I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there. And of course, we understand why he won't see it, because remember, they put his eyes out, they blinded him. So he will be a captive in the land of Babylon, but he will never see the land of Babylon. And I will scatter toward every wind all that are about him, verse 14, to help him and all his bands, and I will draw out the sword after them. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries. But I will leave a few men of them from the sword, from the famine, and from the pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the heathen, whither they come. And they shall know that I am the Lord. There it is twice again. Here God says, and this is important to note, here God speaks and says, it is my net that is spread. I will capture the king of Israel. It is not Nebuchadnezzar's net. Nebuchadnezzar is the tool that is used in his armies. But notice who's doing the capturing. God says, this is the net that I have put out. The king thinks he's going to sneak out at night, carry some stuff on his back, you know, head for safety and live happily ever after. But God says, no way. I'm not letting him out. This is judgment, and I will spread my net, and I will catch him. Not only him, but all the soldiers, when he's taken, remember, the soldiers are going to head for the hills, thinking they're going to get away, and none of them shall escape. Remember, they were all put to death by the sword. And he'll be taken captive into Babylon, but he will never see Babylon. And he will die there. He will never return to Israel. Now, the false prophets are in trouble if this really happens. And it really did happen. So the false prophets, well, they're not going to live anyway. They've stoned them to death, according to law, but they'll be dead already. It's okay. This was all fulfilled, by the way, if you want to read your history books, in 586 B.C., and God says, I'm going to spare some. It'll be a small amount, but I will spare some. Those that live, he says, will realize that I am the Lord. Once again, we see God's judgment shows the world, shows anyone who is willing to look and see that he is the Lord, that he is in control, that he is God Almighty. And that's why you will then go to the New Testament and hear Jesus say, he that has an ear, let him hear. He that has eyes to see, let him see. The one that chooses to will, he says. Some choose not to. So, I think we can move on here. Verse 17. Moreover, or furthermore, or on top of that, the word of the Lord came to me in verse 17, saying, Son of man, eat thy bread with quaking, and drink thy water with trembling and with carefulness. And say unto the people of this land, or the land, Thus saith the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and of the land of Israel. They shall eat their bread with carefulness, and drink their water with astonishment. That her land may be desolate from all that is therein, because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. And the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall be desolate, and you shall know that I am the Lord. There he says it again. So now here's what Ezekiel needs to do. Here's another little drama for him to do. He's going to drag his table outside, his dinner table, and eat outside. So he just kind of grabs his little, maybe he's got a little, you know, something he could drag into the street. And he just goes out there and he sits and he eats outside so that passersby can see him eating. What's he doing now? He's eating in this out front, right? What's he doing? And while he eats, he's shaking. He has to make himself shake and eat. Of course, which would cause you and I to walk up to the poor guy and go, Zeke, buddy, what now? What? What's wrong now? Why are you shaking? Are you cold? Why are you outside? Go inside. Why don't you go inside? What's up with you? Anyway, Ezekiel would answer, this is exactly what's going on over there at home right now in Jerusalem. There's a famine over there. They are in dread. They are in fear constantly. If they have something to eat, they are shaking. They are scared. They are weak. They are afraid that the walls at any moment are going to crumble. This is what they're going through over there right now. Although the false prophets are telling you everything's all right, I'm showing you this is what's happening at home right now. Listen to God. take him at his word. The people eat and drink in anxiety and despair. The enemy will destroy the land. He will leave nothing in his wake. Nothing. Nothing but helplessness and fear and trembling is what Ezekiel's communicating. We all need to know, because of what God said here, they'll know I'm the Lord. We all need to know that they brought all of this on themselves by their own violence. Isn't that what it says? Verse 19 at the very end, because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. Hear that? They did this to themselves. When they say, why are you shaking? What are you doing? I'm showing you what is going on at home. And it's going to get worse and everything will be destroyed. And you need to hear what God said. We need to hear that they brought all of this on themselves by their own violence. In other words, this thing is their own doing, their own sin, their own rebelliousness has brought this upon them. They wouldn't listen to God's word. They would not humble themselves and repent and cry out for mercy. They continued to say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. I don't believe that. That's for people who are getting old. That's for little children. You know, amazing how some people, even in our community, will send their children to church because they think their children need church, but they won't come themselves. Well, now, what kind of logic is that? If you don't need God, why does your son? Why does your daughter? What kind of logic is that? And that's the way people think. I don't need him. That's just not my thing. That's okay for children. That's okay for people who are really old, you know, because they're working their way to heaven now. They're about there and they know it. But, you know, everybody in between, you know, just don't want to hear it. Just don't want to see it. And Ezekiel says, and God says, they brought this on themselves by their own violence, their own doing, their own sin, their own rebelliousness. It's the judgment of the Lord God, just as he promised. Now you think about the judgment that God Almighty has said is still coming. Because you can read through Scripture and you can't ignore the fact that the world is headed for judgment. Judgment like it has never seen. Much worse than what you see here. Much worse than what goes on in these prison, in the scandals, in the abuse things. Much worse than anything that we can fathom right now. Jesus says it will be so bad that there has never been anything like it in all the history of humankind. And he says, and there will never be anything that bad after it. For eternity. That's what's coming on this planet. Why? Because they brought it on their own selves because of their violence, because of their rebelliousness, because they don't want to have God in their lives or around them. Well, verse 21. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that you have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged and every vision fails, or faileth? Tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. They had a proverb in those days. And God said, what's that proverb you guys say all the time? And this is the proverb. I've written it basically in our language. Here's the way you would say it in English. The days go by and every vision comes to nothing. It's an old proverb that they used to say in Ezekiel's day. The days go by and every vision comes to nothing. What's he talking about? Vision. Vision is not what you see. It's not having a plan. It's the Word of God coming forth. And when the Word of God comes forth, people say, oh, that's the Word of God. And what the proverb is, just became an old saying. Yep. They keep saying it, but nothing ever happens. They keep saying it, but nothing ever happens. Days go by, every vision comes to nothing. They've been talking judgment for hundreds of years. Nothing. They've been talking hellfire and brimstone. Nothing. So days go by, the visions come to nothing. Peter in 2 Peter said that would be the attitude in the last days. Scoffers, people who will joke, will laugh, and make fun of the threats that God doesn't threaten, of the judgment that God has promised. And it's in 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. He says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own desires, their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. What's the proverb? The days go by and every vision comes to nothing. You guys been talking about this rapture. There has been no rapture so far. You've been talking about this great tribulation. We're expecting the world to get better. We're going to come one world family. We're going to one economy. We're going to run this thing. It's going to be cool. All these visions, all these prophecies, all these things you've been saying that the Lord said, nothing's happening. Nothing's changed since the fathers fell asleep. You know, John said Jesus was coming soon, and that was 2,000 years ago. And so soon, come on, Jesus probably not even coming at all. Many, many Christians giving up on a rapture, saying we're just going to go through the tribulation. God will help us and we'll just go through the tribulation. Many Christians giving up. What's the proverb? The days go by and every vision comes to nothing. It's not going to happen. Nothing's happened. Nothing's happening. Nothing's going to happen. That was the attitude of the people. What did God say? I'm going to make sure this proverb's never used again here. I'm going to make sure that something happens so you don't use this proverb here anymore. They'll use it over in America, but you in Israel, you won't be using it anymore. I'm going to get rid of that proverb. The prophets keep warning and nothing ever happens. Notice that. People say, we're tired of listening to all the gloom and doom. If you don't have good news, it's just talk. You're depressing people. You're trying to scare them. You know, there are times when we'll say to people, this may be the last chance for you to accept the Lord. It may be the last chance you ever have to come to a saving knowledge. And then people look at you and say, that's a scare tactic. You're just trying to scare people. No, that's a fact. It may be the last time you had a shot at it. Nobody knows. Why take a chance? We used to ask the young people, when we do the young people's Bibles, high school Bible studies, we would ask them this question. If God spoke to you out loud right now, or spoke to you in your heart, you knew it was God, and he said, in 2 minutes, you're coming home. You got 2 minutes. If God said that to you right now, and you knew it was the Lord, what would you do? You've got 2 minutes left before God takes you out of here. What would you do with those 2 minutes? Would you run and call your mother and apologize? Might not have time. What if it's busy? Would you apologize to the people that you're sitting around and say, you know, I've been a jerk or a jerkette? And, what would you do? You got 2 minutes left. And we used to ask the students that. Okay, tell me quick, what would you do? And they would say, don't know. So I ask you, what would you do if the Lord spoke to your heart right now and you knew it was him and he said, 2 minutes. Would you pray? What would you do? Kiss everybody goodbye? Run? Cry? Hide? What would you do? Do you know? And once you decide in your mind what you would do, then I ask this question. What makes you think you don't have 2 minutes? What makes you think you have 3 or 5 or 6 weeks or 20 years? In other words, why would you do something different now than 2 minutes from now? God says, that proverb needs to go. We need to get that out of here. What's the proverb? The days go by and every vision comes to nothing. Nothing's changing. Nothing's going to happen. I'm telling you, God's coming back. Jesus will rapture his church. The Father will send the bridegroom. He will say, it's time to go get your bride. You will hear the shout of the Lord God himself like a trumpet. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them to be with him, to meet him in the air, to ever be with him. In other words, forever. And then judgment comes upon the earth. God says, I'm going to keep the people from quoting this verse ever again. This proverb, I'm sorry, not this verse. They'll be sorry because the judgments have come. These terrible days are finally at hand, God says. They're here for Israel. False prophets have been contradicting the Lord's word for years and years, thousands of years. And are still to this day contradicting his word. But God says he's going to remove these false visions and these flattering divinations. That's what the King James says. False visions and flattering divination. These false prophets, and they're telling people what will make them feel good. What will make them feel better about themselves. What will make them just feel better about life in general. Flattery. False prophecies. God says, my word will be fulfilled without delay. Judgment is here. That's what he spoke to Ezekiel to tell to God's children. Look at verse 26. And again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Therefore say to them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. There were some scoff saying, it's never going to happen. It is, you know, and we have people like that today. It's never going to happen. I mean, you talk about the judgment, you talk about the rapture, you talk about these, it's not going to happen. It hasn't happened. Come on. You're dreamers. You're weird. You're out of touch with reality. It's not going to happen. But there are some who are supposedly believers who say this same thing that you read in verses 26 through 28. Some people believe this about God's word. They said, okay, Ezekiel, we think you're right. You're probably right. You seem to have a heart for the Lord and you're probably right on. But we've decided, it's really God's word, but it's not going to happen for years and years and years to come. We got lots of time. Our grandchildren's children's children might have to deal with this maybe, but we got time. Certainly we're safe. We're secure. We're doing just fine. See, they said, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that you're seeing, Ezekiel, is for many days to come. And he prophesied of the times that are far off. This isn't going to affect us. It might affect generations down there, but it's not going to affect us. God says, that's a big mistake. It's a wrong way to think. God says, the judgment is not distant. It is here now. My word is fulfilled now. And he says a statement that ought to frighten those children of Israel. He says, none of my words will be delayed any longer. Oh, man. Just think. We are about to hear him say that again. Any moment now, he will make the statement. That's it. My word will be done now. There will be no delay, not any longer. It's coming. You see that written in the book of Revelation, chapter 10, verse 6 as well. And swear, I'll read it, Revelation 10, 6. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, or the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that are therein. And he said this, that there should be time no longer. Literally, in our language, there shall be no more delay. God's word is going to come to pass. And it's going to come to pass soon. So you always ask the question, Am I ready? You don't have to do much to get ready. You must be born again. That's how you get ready. But see, the attitude of the people is, we're going to sneak out of this. We're going to get through this. Or, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You know, you've been talking about this for 20 years, 30 years. They've been saying these things. It's not going to happen. Or they have the attitude, it might happen, but it's not going to happen to me. It's not going to happen in my lifetime. Don't be so dramatic. Yeah, what do I worry about? You know, generations, five generations. You know, this earth will go to the year 4000 easy. It's not going to happen to me. All those attitudes, all of them, God condemns them. Notice, it says, you're in for a shock. Because there will be delay no longer. Now is the time for me to give my heart to the Lord. Now is the time for me to get into the Word of God. And then be filled with the Holy Spirit and ask the Spirit to let me do these things. Be doers. Now is the time to get the Word of God out to people. Not just in our community, but throughout Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of it. Now is the time. I don't think it's wise for us to wait until we're more mature in the Lord, or until we've got enough money to do it like they do it, or until we really have a great understanding of the entire global community. No, now is the time to take the opportunities to preach the gospel and to teach Bible studies and to do the things that God has given us the gifting to do. Now's the time. Not only for me, but for you, for all of us. Now's the time. We want to have the attitude that's just like Ezekiel's. Ezekiel says, this is what God says. Count on it. You can carve it in stone. Take it to the bank. This is what God says. This is what it is. This is what it will be. And I believe that's the attitude you and I want to take. So read back through that again. It's kind of interesting. Short. But interesting. And it teaches you a whole lot about how God works and what He thinks. Let's bow our heads together.